Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcasts12. Just go to Indeed.com/podcasts12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcasts12. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Welcome to part two of our conversation with Renee Hill. You said 5 years into paranormal investigating, you were scratched by something, something that you couldn't explain. What was that experience? How did that happen? And then how did that affect you after?
So I had been going 5 years in the paranormal and knowing a lot of paranormal people, going to a lot of paracons, going investigating with different teams because Ghost Posse fell apart, and me and my good friend Michelle LeBaron, anyone wants to follow someone amazing, she's called the Ghost Magnet, look her up on Facebook. She is just so passionate, and everywhere she goes, they call her the Ghost Magnet for a reason. This girl, for some reason, attracts all the spirits, so she's a good one to watch her evidence. But her and I became really good friends. We went to Amador County Jail. This is in like Placer County, California. And a friend of ours had been scratched in a jail cell. It was back from the 1800s. It's now turned into a current courthouse that has been abandoned. And now the owner, you know, does paranormal tours, rents it out here and there. So that's what we had done. But in my 5 years of investigating, people had told me stories. You hear from different people being scratched, what it feels like. It starts to burn. So you just hearing their stories, but I never thought it would happen to me. I wasn't, you know, waiting for it to happen. It wasn't even on my mind to ever happen. I just kind of knew of it and what it felt like according to other people's words. So we go into the jail cell, just me and Michelle. We actually, were on Facebook Live. She does a lot of those, and we were asking people, to investigate with us. We were involving them in the group and saying, hey, you know, if you want us to ask any questions, we'll do an EVP session and we'll see if we get any answers. And we were playing them back to the people live on Facebook so they could join in with us. And we just, her and I in the jail cell, and someone had asked a question about, there's a lot of writing on the walls that said KKK, a lot of tagging, like different racist things. And earlier in the night, when we had done a tour of the facility during the day, a worker who worked at the hotel, the person who owned this thing, he said, can I join you guys? I want to check this place out. So he just walked the tour with us because you kind of get to know a place during the day before you go at night just for safety reasons. And he was a black gentleman. So I had asked, did it make you angry or upset that that, you know, black gentleman was here in the cell? And I don't know, just a few seconds go by and my arm starts to burn and my mind starts going like, okay, why would it just start burning all of a sudden? And I did start flashing to like all those stories of people getting scratched and feeling a burning sensation. Mm-hmm. And you see me reach for my arm in the video and I pull it away because my mind goes, well, if I did get scratched, I don't want to show me touching it. So you can see me kind of go for it. And I pull away and then I go, Mish, like my arm is burning. And she goes, what? And I go, my arm's burning. And then I lift it and you can see actual scratches almost in symbolic, kind of look like KKK almost. Mm-hmm. It was more of like letters than just like three or four scratches across or down. And so I was like, people were flipping out on the live. I'd run out of there. I was more calm. I guess when I get like nervous, I get quiet or calm. And I just kind of sat there, kind of contemplating and thinking about this. And then you go through like an adrenaline rush that, you know, it is kind of, you more think about it after the whole fact of looking back on it. But I did think I think I was out of it for a few months thinking, this is dangerous. This is serious. Not that I wasn't taking it serious before, mm-hmm. But that this is the tip of an iceberg. That do you want to keep going down it? Do you want to keep poking at something that, you know, could end up in something worse? Could be, you know, you hear of like possessions, and I've even seen some people somewhat, you know, possessed in my investigations where they've changed demeanor. So, I mean, I kind of had a touch and feeling of like, this can get worse than this, you know, and did you want to keep going? And after months of thinking about it, it became more of like, you know, that's kind of cool to experience something that wasn't physically there and it was able to scratch you, and you got to experience that and know that that is possible, that there is no doubt in your mind, because it happened to you, that it is absolutely in the realm of possibility that you can be scratched by something that physically has no body. And it became more of an interest than a fear. And so then I was like, no, I'm going to keep doing this and, you know, just be safe about it. And, you know, but that was definitely, I'd never thought would happen to me. And 5 years into investigating, and that it did happen.
What or who do you believe scratched you in that cell?
The rumor from what people are guessing in that cell is there's a angry gentleman. I've had a friend, his name is George. He got scratched in that the same night, later that night. And we have that on film as well. And it's a very upsetting, emotional video. But he was scratched across his chest. And there was a negative feeling in the room at the time. During my scratch, I didn't feel any negativity. And I don't want to jump to things just being, you know, negative just because it scratches you. I do like to think that, you know, it could just be a form of communication, as in, like, I don't know what else to do to reach out to you. You know, like when people get their hair pulled, or they get pushed, or it's like, and they jump to negative or they jump to demonic. And I'm just like, maybe it's like they don't know what else to do. Mm-hmm. To reach out to you and say, hey, I'm here. You know, I don't know how else to communicate to you. And I just really didn't get a negative vibe from that scratch. Because I've been in places that you feel negativity, you feel darkness. Like if you've ever been in a room with someone after an argument and they're angry and you just feel their anger, like that's how I like to maybe explain to people, like when I'm saying what I feel in a location is, and you just feel that thickness in the room when that person is so mad at you and you just feel that, that's what, you know, you can feel that in a negative location. And I wasn't getting that when I was scratched, but I did when my friend George was scratched that night, later that night. So I really don't know to say what it was, but they feel it was an inmate. They feel it was a guy inmate that had, you know, stayed in that cell, and they didn't have any other information, besides, you know, getting maybe male type of voices when you're recording and you're getting answers. So we did get answers back to questions when we were recording and playing back, and it sounded like a male voice. That's just another piece to the puzzle, that it felt like a male entity. So that's like my thoughts on who possibly, you know, who it could have been, but I didn't take it just for immediately being a negative scratch.
me ask you, what do you do? You said going forward, after you had come to the realization that you wanted to continue investigating, it took some time. What exactly did you do to be safe? What did you do for protection from whatever may be out there, not knowing exactly what it is that could harm you?
I think you just take your best guess effort, and at least some effort is better than none, because you don't really have like a definitive answer on what the paranormal is, and therefore I don't know if you can really have a definitive answer on what protects you. But I think that I do feel like it's made a difference. We used to get together in a group before an investigation. You know, whether you are a religious person or not a religious person, we would get in the circle and we would clear ourselves of negative energies. We would bring in a bright light, and I felt silly at first. I'm not a religious person, but I took it as like, I do believe in energies, and so I am going to go along and do that. And then you kind of protect yourself with this shield. You say that, you know, to be protected, that, you know, no spirits are, you know, can enter you, go home with you, and then you have to close out the same way. And it's very common in the paranormal to have kind of this protection in the way in, and people do it in different ways, and then when they leave, to close that out and say, you know, thank you for having me here as a guest, you know, you can't come home with me, and close that out. And I have noticed that if you get lazy with that, I have had things come home with me. So, and they are at times I feel like, oh, you didn't say don't come home with me because you got lazy. So I've had two times that's happened to me where something has come home with me after investigating. So it is a possibility when you start diving into the paranormal that some of these experiences do come home with you.
If something does follow you home, how do you or how have you made it go away?
I've had two. One of them, at the time, I'd owned my own business and I was working like 60-hour weeks, and I had a lady who'd come in once a week and help clean around the house. And she started having experiences, and she shared them with me and left. She had light switches go on and off in rooms that she was in, and it's the same time that I was seeing a shadow in the corner of my eye. And that's always what happens when something comes home with me, is that, and the first time it happened, I was kind of like, okay, I keep seeing this shadow just right in the corner every time you look. And I noticed that my cat was strangely looking up at stuff, like it was looking at someone but nobody was there, and her name was Boo. And I was like, Boo, what are you looking at? Like, what are you doing? And she's just staring up like she's actually looking at a person. So just kind of putting all these together. But when that cleaning lady left, the shadow left. So I didn't do anything with that one. Now, on the second time, I had come back from Virginia City. Great city. Go there if you can. That's where the Washoe Club is. We used to investigate the Silver Queen, Mackie Mansion, the Washoe Club. It's kind of our go-to place. That whole entire town is haunted. There's not a place that you don't stay in that's not have activity there. So definitely make a trip of it if you're in the paranormal. What was I talking about? I have all these stories going through my mind now. I got so much to share with you guys.
Sure. We were talking about when you're going through the situation of something following you home, how do you make it go away?
Right. That's right. So the second time was after Virginia City, and came home, started seeing these shadows again, and mainly in my bedroom at night, going to bed. And I thought, okay, I think something came home with me again. And then I had a roommate at the time, and I was at the top of my stairs and he was at the bottom of the stairs. I don't remember what we were talking about, but he moved to the side all of a sudden, as if I don't know, something touched him or pushed him, and he looked around and he goes, "Who did that?" And he's looking left and right. I had two roommates at the time. And he's looking left, he's looking right, and I said, "Nope, nobody walked by." And he's like, "Yeah, no, who came by?" And I was like, "Nobody came by." And he goes, "Someone just pinched my rear end." And I had seen him move from it. And I was like, "Ryan, nobody went by." And he's like, "Okay, I think you're bringing things home." Like, he was kind of weirded out by it. So on that one, I was going back to Virginia City, and I just nicely said, "Hey, I'm going back." And I was talking in my room by myself, feeling a little weird that I was talking to myself. But I was like, "Hey, you know, I'm going back to Virginia City. I would love if you came with me to Virginia City. There's lots of spirits there. You probably would love it. And, you know, maybe you'd want to stay there." And then after I came back from Virginia City, I didn't have a shadow again. So I was trying to be nice and asking it kind of in a kind way to, "Let's get out of here and go somewhere else." And it worked, because I didn't have a shadow after that. But those are the two times I took something home. You know, I didn't have anything, you know, scary or bad happen. I didn't take anything, you know, what I felt like evil home or anything like that. I just felt like something decided they wanted to come along for a little bit, I guess.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Renee Hill. Until next time for the Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.